Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Okay, so I want you to imagine that you are trying to open a business, like it's your dream coffee shop or corner bodega. You've got your inventory, you got a location picked out, layout planned, but then you approach the city or the town to get started, and they present you with an expensive and maybe impossible choice. Pay us huge fees or find somewhere else. That is reality for recreational marijuana shops since voters legalized pot in 2018. Cities charge these fees. They're called community impact fees, and they get to because they have these agreements with the businesses that are called host community agreements, and they are causing a lot of friction. So, for example, HVV is Cape Ann's first recreational marijuana dispensary, and they are now suing the city of Gloucester about these fees and asking for a refund. It's actually the second suit. We covered another one in Haverhill several months ago here on Radio Boston, and there are those who say there's more pushback on the fees and the agreements coming. So we're going to dive into that a little bit more. You may remember Shalene Title. She is a former commissioner for the state's Cannabis Control Commission and a drug policy lawyer with the Drug Enforcement and Policy Center at The Ohio State University. Shalene, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot of nuts and bolts here. We will dive into that in a minute. But for now, is this criticism appropriate? Are host community agreements unfair, or are they getting a bad rap?
It's absolutely appropriate. And especially now that we have multiple years of data showing that there really is no cost to a municipality for having one of these businesses there.
And so let's talk about that cost thing, because that's what we mean with the community impact fee, right? The idea was, hey, marijuana business, having you in our community is going to cost us impact that costs us money, and we want you to pay for it, right?
That's exactly right. But it's important to note that the law is very clear that the fee has to be related to actual costs, and those costs have to be documented. And the law even goes as far as to say that those documented costs are a public record. So in other words, it sends a very strong signal that if a municipality is charging these fees, they should expect it to be scrutinized, and they should be able to justify it.
And the issue has been, let's stay with these nuts and bolts. So the business signs a host community agreement with the city or town where they kind of lay all this out. This is how this is going to work. And the issue has been, in many cases, not only that the city or town isn't providing proof that we need this money, but that they're also layering on a lot of other fees or costs that may not be legit or at least provided for, you know, within the regulations. Is that fair?
Yes, that's correct.
How'd we get here?
Well, I think it started with a few cities engaging in this practice, and it started with some uncertainty where they said, you know, sincerely or not, they said, we don't know what the costs are going to be. So therefore, you have to charge us the entire maximum limit of 3% of your revenue. And then they were never able to justify those fees by showing any actual costs. So the way we got here is there are now lawsuits that are saying, okay, justify the fee by showing us the costs. And some municipalities don't have any documentation at all. Some have, for example, in Haverhill, 6 new police officers, 2 cruisers, gear, the DARE program. In Gloucester, they have justified the fee with actual negotiation expenses for the city for actually negotiating this contract. And so it's really unclear what the actual costs are to a municipality to have a business there.
All right, let's talk about some of these tensions. I'm going to start. We reached out to both Gloucester and to HVV, which is the marijuana business suing Gloucester. Understandably, since they are engaged in a legal battle, they weren't coming on air. They did both submit statements. We'll have full statements on our website. I'm going to give just a sampling from each. Gloucester's statement, in part, quote, "The city has complied and always will comply with the law. As a result, we believe that we will ultimately be successful in our defense in this case. Having said that, we will not comment any further on pending litigation. Then a little bit from HVV, quote, "This is an important lawsuit which simply seeks to force the city to comply with the law. The legislature set clear limits on permissible host community impact fees and required that they be tied to real impacts. Unfortunately, some municipalities saw this as an opportunity for a money grab instead. We hope this lawsuit will remedy this situation." Now, Shalene, bear with me for a second. I want to focus on that money grab. We did speak again with the founder of STEM, Caroline Pino. We've spoken with her before. She sued her host community in Haverhill for similar reasons. And when she talked to us, she said that marijuana businesses have had more positive impacts on communities than negative.
We need to look at the facts that there's been no sales to minors. There's been no increases in crime around cannabis facilities. There's been no decrease in home or business values due to the presence of legal cannabis. There have been no reported increases in driving while intoxicated by cannabis. There has been 17,000 new jobs and $200 million in new state and local tax revenue that's never existed before. And so I think that, you know, all of those things are so positive, and we need to start talking about the positive and, you know, not creating this unnecessary fee and burden for, especially for independent operators.
Again, Carolyn Pino there, founder of STEM, the marijuana business in Haverhill, who sued the city. So that argument, is that on the upward trend here as we have more years of recreational marijuana businesses in cities and towns under our belts, Shalene?
It is, and it's really what the data supports. And in fact, we now have multiple cities, Northampton and Lee, that have stopped charging community impact fees because they say they don't have any basis for them.
Okay, and I do want to note producer Amanda Beland reminding me that suit is still ongoing in Haverhill as well. So this is interesting. We also discovered that there are some communities, Shalene, beginning to make changes. Earlier this year, both Northampton and Lee removed 3% community impact fees for their marijuana operators. We spoke with Patricia Carlino, chairwoman of the Lee Board of Selectmen earlier about this. This is what she said about removing the fee for the business Canna Provisions.
After 2 years, we had pretty much come to the conclusion that we didn't have any impact. You know, when they first passed the law and everything sounded wonderful, and nobody knew what would the impacts be. But there really haven't been any. It's kind of hard to identify any impacts from this business that work negatively to the town.
So obviously there's a theme going on. You were talking about this, Shalene, then we heard it from Caroline Pino. Now we hear it from the town of Lee. Is this the right way to go? Are we at a point where not only are we getting pushback, but cities and towns should be removing these fees and community impact agreements?
Yes, and I would go even further. I think the legislature should consider removing this requirement altogether, because not only is it not justified, it's really harming small businesses and the economic empowerment businesses that our state was supposed to encourage. And it unfairly benefits the businesses that can afford to pay any fee.
Yeah, I want to stay with that. And we've talked with you extensively in the past, Shalene, here on the air, about the equity dimensions of cannabis law in Massachusetts. I mean, I think it makes sense to go back and remind everyone, when marijuana was legalized for recreational use in the Commonwealth, the thought was to design the policy such that those communities and individuals who had been most negatively impacted by marijuana policy in the past stood best to benefit from this growing industry. And that has not played out, Shalene. Talk about that.
It has not played out to my satisfaction, but I would say that we are seeing very steady progress, and the commission continues to report data and to make changes. Most recently, they actually decided to proactively ask the legislature to create a social equity fund so that some of these businesses can have capital. That's one of their top barriers, in addition to the host community agreement. And so we still have a chance. I think the window is not yet closed to make this a fair and equitable industry that is welcoming to small businesses.
Well, and we know the money's been a rate limiting factor. I want to go back to Caroline Pino of STEM in Haverhill again. That same conversation, she told us that fees are negatively impacting the people the industry was most designed to support. Here she is.
The barrier of entry, the capital required to open an operation, a retail establishment, a grow facility, a manufacturing license, is so exorbitant that it's a huge barrier of entry for social equity applicants, people of color, people from disproportionately harmed communities by the war on drugs. These fees are creating a pay-to-play market, unfortunately and sadly.
So first, is it a pay-to-play system, Shalene?
Absolutely. At this point, yes.
So what do we do about that?
Well, removing the host community agreement and community impact fee would be a great start. And then at this point, there are many other states that have created ways to offer financing through grants and loans. There's a lot of models that we could use. And so those two things are very rational, common sense, evidence-based steps we could take at this point.
And we are the only state that has this kind of community impact fee and host community agreement set up, correct, Shalene?
Yes, that's correct.
So as I understand it, and this is the last sort of technical piece, the commission, the Cannabis Control Commission, doesn't have the authority to change this. You've alluded to this. This has got to be the legislature, yes?
I actually disagree, but that's
okay.
The commission's position, yes.
Okay. Can you talk a little more about that?
Well, I think that the commission could actually review these host community agreements and could have been doing so from the beginning. But the commission's vote was that it wanted clarity on that. And it asked the legislature to give them clarity, to give them authority. And so there was a bill to do that. It passed the House last session. Currently, it was introduced again, and now it's in the joint committee on cannabis. So it's moving along slowly.
Do you believe we'll get there?
Yes, I do. And thank you for calling attention to all of this.
Well, I appreciate that. So we have just a little bit of time. Where do you get that optimism from?
Well, people have been telling us for 20 plus years that marijuana legalization would never happen and the big companies wouldn't let it happen. And we've absolutely seen it happen because the people want it. So if the people want this to be equitable, we can make that happen as well.
And that is Shalene Title, former commissioner for the Cannabis Control Commission here and a drug policy lawyer with the Drug Enforcement and Policy Center at The Ohio State University. Shalene, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. You too.